Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, Director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Well, thank you, guys. You know, every week I tell you I'm glad you joined us, and every week I truly am glad you joined us. Last week I ended the show with a little reminder that once upon a time there was a man on the radio named Paul Harvey who used to tell the rest of the story. And so last week, or if you guys are really old, I understand that the movies used to have cliffhangers, so you'd come back the next week. Well, we had a cliffhanger last week. I have Jeff and Julie Miles on the show, and we were just talking. I was going to ask Julie something, but I wanted her to be able to tell her whole part of that. So I'm glad that you guys joined us. I wanted to let you know, too, that during the intermission here, you might call it, while they were resetting everything, Julie and Jeff and I were talking about the fact that, you know, how I started the show all those years ago and what people have said. And what I didn't get around to saying is that I always wanted to call up teachers that I had who were always mad at me for talking and tell them, you know what they pay me for now? From radio show to pastoring to counseling, that's what they pay me for. All kidding aside, as I was telling them, I think the reason that I think the show works is because I really care about the people I'm talking to. I'm not brilliant. I'm not a super gifted, talented individual, but I am a guy who talks to his friends, and the people I have on the show are friends, and I enjoy what they have to say, and so it makes it kind of nicer for me anyway. So, guys, last week we were at the point where Jeff had talked about his addiction, how he got to the mission, and we're going to talk a little more about that. Julie had expressed that when he first went into the program, which was a surprise to both him and her, that she really didn't know how to cope with all the things at home without having Jeff there, because she is an intelligent, articulate woman, but still, when you're used to having two of you do everything, and now there's just the one of you doing everything, and we each usually wind up with different roles that we play in a marriage. And I don't mean that in any facetious way. I mean, Jeff does this, Julie does that. And so you get used to a certain rhythm in life. And so now that whole rhythm has been disrupted. How was that first 30 days for you?
The first 30 days of the program is what they call a blackout. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have the ability to really communicate with him. I wasn't allowed to come to church on Sundays yet. He had to earn that privilege.
Correct.
And it was really difficult. But in the same time, I had a peace that just came over me. The Lord helped me through all the difficult times. There were quite a few really challenging times. But every time, he just gave me the strength to meet each thing as it came and the means to take care of it, because Jeff was our provider and he didn't bring home any salary for 10 months. And somehow, some way, the Lord just made a way and provided every single
That's
month.
That's amazing in and of itself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We serve a mighty God. He can do anything.
We do serve a mighty God. We serve the only true and living God.
Yeah.
There are none before him, none after him. And all the other so-called gods are gods with little g's, and they do not have the power to seek, to save, to change, or to draw. And so the Union Gospel Mission stands wholly on the idea that it is a union of churches, the gospel of Jesus Christ being at the center of that mission, an outreach to those that God has sent our way. And so your statement, we serve a mighty God, oh yes, we serve a mighty God. He has made the mission what it is. He has built it to where it is today. And trust me, 62 years ago, that mission was a storefront in Old Sacramento. And if you grew up here, you know Old Sacramento was a slum. Every horrible thing after dark went on in Old Sacramento, because it wasn't Old Sacramento, it was the waterfront. Mm-hmm. And prostitution, drugs, alcohol, everything went on there. Jeffrey, you have been this provider financially. And, you know, I used to tell people, they say, well, does your wife work? Yeah, my wife worked. She wasn't gainfully employed for most of those years, but that doesn't mean that they don't work.
That's right.
And sometimes we have to define our roles. So now you're the, for lack of a better word, you're the sole breadwinner, right?
Yes, sir.
Now you're in a program and they've just told you you're going to be here for 10 months. How did you look at that as far as the possibility of your family making it without you?
That was overwhelming. I was battling with that because I just had no idea how my wife was going to make it without my income. My wife does get disability, but the expenses without my income are too great for her disability to cover. And I had these feelings of inadequacy. Look what I've done. Mm-hmm. I'm here because of my drug addiction, and now my wife is going through this. So it was difficult for a little while, but God had a different plan. And I started to listen to the men that he was sending my way as they were pouring their life and about Christ into my heart. And that started this change, and I started to have a little bit of peace about it, but it didn't happen until I surrendered my life over to the Lord in class one day, mm-hmm. where full peace came, and I realized that this is where God wanted me.
You knew already, didn't you, Julie, that's where God wanted him?
Oh, yeah. I was far more concerned about his salvation than the drugs and Amen. Alcohol and the addiction. I will be forever grateful to the mission and the people
yes.
that gave of themselves to him and taught him what he needed to hear about the gospel, because he did overcome drugs and alcohol, but more importantly, he gave his life to the Lord, and that's the real
Much
important
more
thing.
Important.
Yes.
You know, if I had the opportunity at the mission to take a person, clean them up, put them on the right path as far as their families, sobriety, their jobs, and they could become successful and they were still lost, I would feel to be a horrible failure at what we have done. Because the primary thing for us is, yes, not everybody who goes through the program is going to be saved. Not everybody in a church is going to be saved. But the reality is that the Union Gospel Mission is there for one reason, and that's to point the way to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So that you can find the grace that was given to us by somebody else at some other time when God drew us to his side. And so, to your point, that's the whole impetus of everything we do. One guy, because I always say we take no government money, and so he wrote me a nasty letter and he said, you know, why don't you come down off the cross and start taking money so you can help more people? Well, okay, I didn't answer his letter. There was no point. But the bottom line comes down to help more people do what? If we took government money, we'd have to compromise the gospel. We'd have to make it optional. Mm-hmm. And if that's what we're doing, we're not a mission anymore. And so there are plenty of places people, I guess, can get food and clothing, but there's not a lot of places that they can consistently hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So getting back to your story, you have come to this saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is about 3 months into your program?
It happened faster than that. It was probably about 3 weeks.
Okay.
And
that is pretty fast.
It was, and it happened in class one day. Pastor Mooney, I can't remember what he was teaching about, but the gospel was tied into his class, and I was there, and the Holy Spirit came into the classroom and pointed at Pastor Mooney, pointed at two other brothers, Bob LaRocca and Lou Moreno, and they went up and left with Pastor Mooney, and the Holy Spirit was out of the classroom just like that. And I was sitting there, and I've never been afraid of God, but I had fear right in that moment that I was going to spend eternity in hell. Mm-hmm. And I knew right then at that moment that if I did not turn my life over to the Lord, that I was going to die in my addiction somehow, some way. Class ended. I walked up to Pastor Mooney, and he looked at me and said, "Oh my, Jeff, you look as white as the paint on the walls." And he said I had these big crocodile tears, and I said to him, "I'm not saved." So we went into his classroom, and he took me through the gospel, and right then in that moment, God drew me in. I turned my life over to the Lord, and God has been calling the shots for my life ever since. And it gave me a new opening to the 10 months, the way to look at it, that I knew God had something good for me. If I stay to the program and just grow in the Word to become the spiritual man that God always intended me to be.
I think you've only made one mistake in that whole rendition, and it's one you probably just didn't know at the time. When you thought the Holy Spirit left the room, He didn't. God was calling you, and nobody can come to Christ unless they be called.
Yes.
And nobody makes that decision until they're called.
Yeah.
And so that brokenness of spirit that you had,
right, right,
was not the absence, but the presence of God.
Wow.
Calling
yes,
you.
Yes.
And so, but you could feel for the first time the emptiness of not having Him.
Oh.
And that is a terrifying place to be.
Yes.
Julie, now, there came that time when His 30-day blackout is over. And by the way, we don't do that to be cruel, but a man coming off of drugs and alcohol needs that first 30 days not to be influenced by other people. It's not so much a Christian wife as it is all the friends and all the people that have been bad influences. And his head is in a spin coming off of all the drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. And so that 30-day period is up. What happened at the 30-day period when you could once again talk to Julie? Julie, what did you think when you talked to him after that 30 days?
I saw a different man. God had begun something. He wasn't fully mature, but I could see God had started something in him that was far more important than coming off drugs and alcohol. And it mm-hmm. was just a character change in his heart. He loved the Lord like I loved the Lord. I never thought we'd have that. Like I said, we used to be party buddies.
Sure.
And then I went my way and he went his way. And now we have like a whole new marriage. It's like a third kind of a marriage where we both love Jesus.
I remember you saying that before once.
Yeah.
I love that.
And this is the best version of our marriage it's ever been.
Amen. I used to get to talk to this guy on a regular basis, and I could see the change in him too.
Wow.
So you now the 30 days are up, and she has seen this new man, right?
Right.
How did you feel when you got to talk to Julie and express to her the excitement of what you found?
I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed the fact that my wife was really displaying Christ-like love by staying with me. Mm-hmm. And I was so thankful for her. What a treasure. And I knew that it was so much bigger than me. This is all about God's grace and mercy.
Oh, yes, it is.
I can't move forward without even mentioning that. There's nothing I did. The only thing I did to contribute to this was my sin and my depravity. That's it. But God had a different plan for my life. And when I earned that 30-day merit, then I could have some free time to see my wife once a week. That was really instrumental. And we were able to start building a relationship that was based upon God and what He wants for husband and wife.
Yeah. You know what? You practiced and demonstrated, as the Bible has said, when a woman or a man, but in your case, if a believing woman is married to an unbelieving man, then the admonition was, do not go, because many have been won to Christ by your Christian appearance, by your presence, by your conduct in Christ, long suffering and all those things. And so we see that play out where you had a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and are now relying on Him, and you stayed with the unbelieving husband, but God wasn't going to leave you like that.
No.
So you went through the program.
Yes, sir.
Now, I suppose it was kind of difficult, because now you've got all this newness in you and you want to be with your wife.
Yes.
But at what point did you realize, no, I need to finish this program?
As soon as I turned my life over to the Lord, and I knew that I wanted to finish this program. I knew it was important. I knew that God had something at the end of this program, and I could see the work that He was already doing. He was going to redeem my marriage. He was going to reconcile myself to Him, and he had just started this work, and I just wanted it to be I wanted to see it to completion, and I knew that there was something good for me at the end of the program. I really did. That was my believing thought to keep me grounded at all times.
Well, as you both know, I was married for 47 years before Olga went home to be with the Lord, and it was that way with us. You know, when we were married, and we were married for, I don't know, probably 6 or 8 years before we actually both came to a saving knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, the mighty God, the only one. And it did change us. And she became my best friend, and she was my soulmate for those things. And it is a totally different thing when you are both walking in that newness of life, right?
Yes.
And so how long has it been since you graduated?
I graduated on March 1st.
Okay.
So.
And did you go home right away?
I went home right away. I graduated on Friday, March 1st. I received my coin and my Bible, and I had a completion ceremony, and I went home right away, March 1st on Friday. Sunday, I was in church at Calvary Newcastle in Auburn. Monday, I was back to work. And
is that where you go?
Yes.
Oh, I've been there.
Yes, Calvary Newcastle.
I've been there. I know a couple people that go there.
So. Yeah.
So you got a coin too, didn't you?
No.
Okay, well, you know what? I don't have them with me, but I've got some coins. I carry a different coin than what you have. I saw it, and I don't know. Oh, I do have it with me. The coin that he's talking about is... it is the Armor of God coin. It's like a challenge coin in the military, and we give it to all the graduating men. And how that all came about, the police chief of Auburn, Valerie Harris, she is no longer police chief there, but she came to speak at the mission, and she carries one in her back pocket. I saw them and I thought, our guys need those. Our staff needs those. So we have bought them all these years. So when I see you guys again, I will give each of you a different coin, because I carry this one. It is also the Armor of God, but it's got both of them on there.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, yeah.
So I only give it to married people.
Oh.
And I haven't had them a long time, but Olga carried one, so I've had them probably 4 years. And Olga carried one, and I carry the one she had, I believe. I have a couple hanging around the house. So I'll give you each one of those two.
Thank you.
Now, you are going to be speaking at an event that we're going to have in a few months. How are you feeling about that?
I feel honored.
Well, I am blessed to see that a marriage is saved.
Yes.
That a man's heart is saved, and that, you know what, we take in our society so lightly the bond of marriage, but it's a covenant relationship, a bond between a man and a woman before the eyes of God. And I've performed a lot of weddings, and I always tell them, you know, that the very first wedding was done in a garden, and it was performed by God himself, and cherubim and seraphim were there. And I always said, and when a man and woman comes together in the name of Christ, then with all the guests, there are cherubim and seraphim, and even though I'll speak the words, make no mistake, it's God who binds the hearts together. Yes, and it's a serious thing.
Yes.
And I was just talking to somebody the other day and said, as the Bible says, you are saved, now go and work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. You're already saved. You just need to work out the rest of it. Well, I could say that about marriage. I now pronounce you man and wife. Now go work out this marriage with fear and trembling. Because it can be work, huh?
Yes.
The reward of staying faithful to each other is good?
Good.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm. So, like to say anything as these... we got a couple minutes left. Julie, how's your heart these days?
My heart is well blessed. Yeah, I'm so grateful to the Lord for the mission.
Amen.
For everything that you guys did for our family. We will be grateful forever. And but I know you were just a tool.
That's right.
Used by God, and I'm grateful to him. He's the conductor.
Well, and that's exactly right. We're not the orchestrator. We're not the... We don't save people. We don't do those things. But God, in his grace, mercy, and infinite wisdom, uses such broken vessels as myself and other men at the mission and women that are there, uses us for his glory and for our good, right?
Amen.
And so, Jeff, you said you will always feel connected to the mission?
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
Yes.
And we're going to hold him to it. We're going to hunt him down if he ever tries to escape. So we're down to 1 minute. So I would like to ask you both in this closing minute of ours, if you would consider, say, maybe in another 5 or 6 months, coming back and being on the show with me. And you know,
absolutely,
you'd be welcome to bring Lily with you if you would like.
Oh,
and
that
let
would be
her
good.
Express how she feels about Dad now.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely important that we see the transformation of a family.
Yes.
And only God can do that, because you know what? Otherwise, they may not fully have embraced it, but you guys were headed for the rocks.
Yes.
So, as always, my dearest friends, until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
You've been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to UGMSAC.com, UGMSAC.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.